is the Sounding Board Podcast with Hutchie and Damo. Thanks to Drinkwise. If you're choosing to have a drink, choose to Drinkwise.
Nice to have you with us on the Sounding Board for Drinkwise. If you're choosing to have a drink, choose to Drinkwise. Series 6, Ep 27. Craig Hutchison, Damien Barrett with you. And Hutchie, I'm finding myself getting still, even though we're more than a week into these Olympic Games, emotional every time an Australian goes near the finishing post. Hutchie, are you getting emotional?
Regular listeners of the Sounding Board would be sickened by the sound of that off the top of the show. And as someone,
I even teared up.
Sickened, Damo, because for months and months and months, you belted the desk, your cynic-o-meter, as I called it last week, or even better name, by the way, someone sent me on Twitter, the pez-o-meter.
So the Damo, actually, that's better.
Yeah. The pez-o-meter. Yeah. Thank you to, I'll acknowledge the source of that when I can find them. Your pez-o-meter was up for months and months. You were in this argument. We're in a pandemic. We can't be having Olympics in the pandemic.
Actually, there were 10,000 COVID cases in the country where the games are being held. Have you caught up with that?
And they've handled it magnificently.
Oh, if we just turn a blind eye to it, let's just pretend it's not happening.
The positive stories out of the Olympics have been a beacon of hope to the world. You look at the joint gold medal last night.
There are 15 to 25 million people in Australia right now in a form of lockdown.
Yeah, it's been an amazing content spectacle for 8 days. It's been one of the great Olympics, and you could not see it happening. You didn't think it'd be any good. You thought it'd be soulless.
No, I did say once it started, I was going to get embraced. I always do, and I have, and I've got emotional. I'm surprised I actually had a little welling last week when that first gold medal was scored, Hutchie.
It's embarrassing.
No, it's not.
You don't.
I'm actually proud I can still have that reaction.
You're struggling.
An unbridled reaction to something I can see. It's actually good. It's actually refreshing to know I can still have it out.
You're such a look, touch, feel, see, smell guy. You can't.
I'm sitting by myself, by the way, most of these moments that I'm happening, so I'm not as if I'm sharing with them anyone. My wife doesn't care about it, and my boys don't care either. So.
What do they say in the old, happy are those who don't see and yet still believe? Unless it's right in front of you, and it's happening, and it's great, and then, this is so good, I'm emotional now. Whereas if you actually have to vision it, how to do it, what role it plays in the world, you're like, oh, no, it's never going to work.
Anyway,
unbelievable.
I don't know how you had to bring that into it. I said, Hutchie, we are in a world pandemic.
I can sense the eyes rolling among the listeners right now.
How's the country going to go, the Japan country, when everyone buggers off after the games? What happens then? Mop up the damage.
It hasn't made the country any.
And everyone will come back and their 14 days quarantine and go to home. And the Royal Melbourne show was cancelled last week for the second year in a row. We can't even have the show in Melbourne, Hutchie.
I don't think it hasn't actually created any illnesses, though, has it?
There has been some, but I've got no doubt they're covering up numbers on that, Hutchie.
Of course you are. The pez-o-meter.
you reckon they haven't been?
Well, of course you're a cynic on that. You're a cynic on everything. It's been a wonderful Olympic Games.
It has been. Absolutely has.
And I feel that the pandemic has given some athletes, many athletes, a little bit of perspective, which they're letting us in and sharing
I'd agree with that.
Their lives with and their journey, and it's not all about winning, and there's been some great humanitarian moments, and I think it's been fantastic for the world's psyche.
Yep.
And we've seen some, and obviously Australia's had a great run. The swimming, amazing. We've had stories like Jessica and, we've got the Matildas alive tonight. Hopefully they'll go well. There's been so many great stories among the Australian. The BMX was fantastic yesterday.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
So I think it's been great. And the coverage, given that it's coming from Coventry Street, South Melbourne, I know there's lots of cynics on Twitter, and
I don't like giving Channel 7 any credit.
I think it's
they have been outstanding.
I think it's been great.
Yep.
I think the Abs and Hamish combination's been good. I think Bruce has been superb as always.
David Colbert, my man.
Colbert's incredible.
He should be doing something weekly on media of a major nature.
Yeah, he'd be powerful on a conservative radio network, wouldn't he? When he's not calling, he's got some opinions on.
Yeah, he does.
So at the moment, we're getting the brilliantly talented caller, David.
Yes.
As opposed to like the storm the building, David, which you can get on Twitter from time to time.
Do you recall him?
It would have been the him, by the way.
It would have been the Auckland Games. So 1990, I reckon, the Auckland Games. Remember his carry-on when his first jump, it was like the first jump in the long jump, in the qualifying, from memory, he got something quite huge and he was straight into the final. And the carry-on that he did back then as probably a 20-year-old or thereabouts, or not much more than 20.
I don't recall it.
But he's always been a showman, always been a showman.
He's a tremendous caller. Yep. And their depth in commentary terms has been great, and we've been carrying those calls on our network as well and putting our own shows around them.
And Hutchie, I must say, I've listened to a lot of SEN coverage because I've been in the car a fair bit in the last week or so. And yes, SEN doing a magnificent job. Jerry's too. And I don't like saying that either, Hutchie. So well done to you too.
I'm getting emotional saying that. It was hard for you to say, but well done. Hey, speaking of media performance,
just on that, before we go to the next topic, just with that, you taking the TV feed, it's a better radio product. I say that because you actually, to the minute, you're not requiring your own commentators to be on site and you slow it down and they've got to build it up. You just, whatever's on, you just take the feed and away you go.
We're providing five different experiences during the day. So we've got a Victorian show, South Australian show, West Australian, New South Wales.
I didn't want to invite you to have an ad for the... I said you've done a good coverage of the Olympics, Hutchie. I don't care about the other stuff.
In Sydney, it's been Matt White and James Magnuson by day.
No. Now you're going too far. I've opened the door too widely.
And then the seven channels.
Just take the compliment I gave you as a station.
And then we had a flip channel going at the same time, which was handy when Alistair Clarkson came unstuck. We'll get to that in a moment. Hey, before we move off from the media of the week... What about your acting in the Sunday Footy Show sketch on Sunday? Can we just talk about that for a second?
I was hoping you hadn't seen that.
Hadn't seen it? I had the VHS recorder set and ready.
The VHS.
I had the little tape piece over the sticky bit so I couldn't know I could record over it by the time I got to it. That's how excited I was to see it. And Nathan Brown has done a nice job on these fake investigative pieces. It's a story about the fights you've had with AFL coaches.
They seem well briefed on some of them, Hutchie. I'm not even suspecting. I'm knowing that you would have briefed them.
There was an actor playing you. There was a poor piece of acting. We'll retweet this, by the way. The Sunday Footy Show won't mind us retweeting that. There was an actor playing you. There was
Dan Smith.
There was a really poor acting piece from you walking to your muscle car with Nathan Brown. The highlight for me was the Scott twins as bananas in pajamas in the Halloween party, which we talked about on the sounding board previously. I was a little careful what I said at the time because I wasn't sure how much it was in the public interest, albeit did get followed up on at the time. But obviously the Scots are more comfortable with what happened now because you would have not done this without telling them, surely.
Well, I had nothing. I didn't see what went to air until it went to air, Hutchie. I had no, apart from the doorstop element to that presentation. I had no knowledge.
What did you think of the job they did?
It's always hard when you're the focus of whatever rubbish they carry on with. It was pretty well done. I thought Nathan Brown and Matt Conway putting it together. Yeah,
it was missing the cobwebs in New York. What I'd ask for is, because it was Halloween when you and Brad got into a dispute in New York.
Have you spoken to Brad about this?
Since that night?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. Why?
Just wondering.
But the cobwebs were the thing, because my favourite memory was...
You're telling the story here. I won't be confirming nor denying whatever you're about to say, Hutchie.
Because you started it, obviously, and then you were given a slight attitude adjustment at the time. But the cobwebs that were hanging from the roof for Halloween, you got tangled up in the cobwebs.
This is your sportsman's night version.
No, that is true.
Whatever it is you think you saw.
New York Bar, all these hanging cobwebs from the roof, you know, these oversized...
I can confirm it was the Halloween period of the states in question. Yeah. I can confirm it was a Halloween...
I remember Pix and I having to untangle you from the said cobwebs.
Yeah. Here we go.
After you came unstuck. So the question still remains, are you at the point now where you think you can have a laugh about your disputes with coaches? Because they have been...
I had no choice to on that occasion.
There's been a lot of them, isn't there?
It's been a few, yeah.
Beveridge, B. Scott, Lepich, and maybe one other I'm missing. They've been the big three, haven't they?
Well, you're telling the story.
All three of those were slightly more than verbal at some stage.
Oh, Archie, don't be silly.
No, a degree, like, yeah. So, I mean, the Beveridge is well told. In the corridor at the Brownlow.
Mm. Well, you...
Brad Scott was an argument.
Your sources were that good at the time and still would be that you rang me 3 minutes after that altercation, whatever that happened.
Which
that
one?
Night. With the... Yeah.
Beveridge?
Yeah.
It was the talk of the Brownlow.
No, but you weren't even... You and I hadn't seen each other all night and then you rang me...
They weren't.
Minutes after whatever happened and it wasn't much.
No, they weren't. They weren't fights or anything like that, but they were genuine exchanges of... how would you put it? you have had the ability to put coaches offside along the journey.
What? Yeah, anyway.
So what I don't understand is how come
been able to patch up 98 out of 100 bust-ups I've had over the journey. There's a couple that are residual.
Why do some coaches like Mick Molnes always loved you and then others you're not their cup of tea? Like, why is Why do you think you're polarising the coaches?
Hutchie, why are there world wars? I mean, people are people, aren't they?
People don't know. People would find it. People who listen to you and like you would find it hard to think that you could be that argumentative and you could put someone really offside.
Where are you going with this? Because I'm not going
to... The other thing was missing in the clip was how you blame me. I thought... Because you blamed me for about three years afterwards.
I didn't talk to you for 2 days on that trip.
No, I
gave you a full 24-hour ban and then...
You didn't talk to me for 6 months.
Well, only because I told you, do not have this occasion while I was away on that trip.
Yeah, I misread the tea leaves a bit.
Yeah, you did.
So I don't take things too seriously, but I forgot you do take them very, very seriously.
Anyway, Brad and I think it's fair to say, Hutchie, and I think he wouldn't mind if I said this, we are back to what we once
breaking
were.
He's taking the greater good.
Always very tight and very close. It was just a little period there when things happened when he was coaching and whatnot. But
he's forgiven you for your behaviour.
Do you reckon he's going to be the coach of another club next year?
I think he'd be great if he was.
I think he's on a short list of the club at which he was once an assistant coach.
Do you think he would prefer to do that? You work with him. Do you think he would prefer to do that than be the AFL head of footy?
I have a view that once you've got that bug and once you've been able to have time allow you to recover or whatever it is you may need to do after your first stint at it, it never goes away. So, yes, I don't know this, but this is what I am thinking. That's why I think Alistair Clarkson will coach next year too. He's wired so competitively that I can't imagine him doing anything other than wanting to be the best at what he can be, and that being a competitive coach.
Now it's all said and done. Who won the media battle? And how would you score the performance of everyone involved?
Caroline Wilson won the media battle, didn't she? And Sam McClure won the media battle?
Yeah, no doubt about that.
On
the journalistic side.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
Clear.
Absolutely.
What about on the club point of view? How would you assess the legacy effect on Kennett, Reeves,
there's no winner.
Clarkson?
There's no winner on that side of it. If you want to analyse what they stand for, if you want to analyse it on the lies that they told behind closed doors, the lies they told when the microphones were on, I don't think anyone has come out of it clearly telling the truth at every single point of this. I've never seen anything like it, Hutchie. I've never seen anything like it. And I'm still, even today, where this is the Monday of this particular week, hearing things today that I don't know how he's still coaching. I don't know how he's been allowed to walk back into that building.
What do you mean still hearing things today?
Just hearing how it all went down last week.
Well, take us inside it. What do you think happened?
Well, we know what happened. He made a statement 2 Fridays ago, Alistair Clarkson, where he spoke for 14 minutes before he got to, as he got to his point, volunteered. Now, let's be really clear on this. Volunteered personal tragedy in his life to highlight his then stated public desire to honour the contract, you know, the through thick and thin, good and bad. He even used that effective phrase, the marriage phrase, good and bad. All the while, even as he's talking, Hutchie, both before and certainly after it, trying to get a way out of the club. It's, again, that's all well and good. But
so you're critical of both Clarkson and Kennett equally?
Yeah, equally.
Yep. So you think Jeff has to go? I heard you say it on the Sunday Footy Show yesterday.
Well, can we look at that aspect of it? I'll do this quickly,
and
Hutchie.
You think Alistair played them? Is that what you're saying?
Alistair out... politicked Jeff, yes. And let me just do this really quickly. 2006 to 2011, Jeff Kennett's first stint as chairman, took in the 2008 premiership, had to go under the club's constitution, said he'd go. 2 years after that, tried to become chairman / president of the Melbourne Footy Club, actively involved in wanting to become the main person there. Didn't work out, just too hard to wade through. End of 2017, overthrew Richard Garvey over that. He was then the president of Hawthorne, and some appointments and decisions that they'd made. Came back, and that's all well and good. Changed the constitution to come back for a second time. Said he'd only be there for 3 years because the club was in such a mess. I just need to come back for 3 years to fix it up. Start of last year, which was the third year, the last year of that term, said he'd definitely leave. End of last year, I'm hanging around again. And hanging around again had to require another constitutional effectively change, Hutchie. And then halfway through that next year, this year, he's then basically responsible for the... It was not the greatest coaching succession botch-up plan we've ever seen. It's right up there in the grand final.
And do you blame... If the sum of the blame is 100%,
yep.
Do you blame... What percentage do you blame Jeff? What percentage do you blame Alistair? What percentage do you blame Sam?
I think Sam's just a relatively minor player in it. When you're talking about the blame game, and I feel that Sam and Alistair, I think Sam's been let down by Alistair over the conversations that he felt he was having. Ultimately, I'm going to give a 51% blame to Jeff and 49% for Clark, how Clarko handled the news that he wasn't wanted, which is a natural and human reaction. Yep. If once you're not wanted,
he was always going to be dangerous corner.
Dangerous, yeah.
Yeah, and
he wanted to be sacked, didn't he? He wanted to be sacked. Can you reconcile though with the introduction and the volunteering of the personal tragedy to suit the narrative that suited him at the time?
I think that's unfair. I do.
Why? It was done very pointedly, very very particularly.
Yeah, my impression of what happened was he was clearly hurt. So for all of the bravery and public face, he's been enormously wounded by it. Point one. I think their fallout began a year earlier, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, when COVID happened and pay cuts, and there was an era there where how that was handled and Alistair and the club. And
yep.
And I think they were exhausted of him. So he's been wounded by... So the relationship's changed over time. He's been wounded. He clearly thought... I think he thought that the check was the right way out. Jeff, being stubborn, wasn't going to give him the check in traditional means, so he had to take a non-traditional path to it. I have some empathy for that. I think he outplayed him publicly badly.
Yeah.
The Friday was designed to make them dig in and blink a bit harder. I know, as Jeff Kennett said in the Sunday Herald Sun, that he came to them. Alistair was trying to say that it was collaborative. And
do we believe anything they say, Hutchie? I don't believe one word they say. I'm not saying that they're always lying, but I just now do not believe any word that either man utters. Do you?
The story that was leaked said it was the players that came forward, which served the purpose of one party. So either way...
Which party was that?
It was Alistair's.
Yes.
Either way, it was broken. And I think the media played a role in it. So, like, the Caro story, in hindsight, will be well acclaimed and win awards, and so it should.
Yep.
But it did actually make things worse, didn't it? It did actually put 20% extra pressure on it.
Yeah.
Like, the pressure kept building because of the external debate around it.
Yep.
And in the end, Jeff probably came out of it looking worse, I think.
Mm.
Much worse. People are now starting to question Alistair and his motives along the way. But
well, they should. They deserve to.
I think his motives were pretty clear, right? You don't want me.
Yep.
Write me a check and let me get on with my life. And I don't want to have to say that out loud. So I'm going to dig in until you do. And if you don't, we might have to, I don't hold that enormously against him. He was the one that was sacked at the end of the day.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that part of it. Yeah.
And then the CEO, Justin Reeves, obviously...
Well, he and Clarko don't talk either. Yeah. Like Jeff and Clarko don't talk.
Yeah. So
how are we going?
There's some broken... It's hardly a family club, is it? But it's been... Well, I think the first mistake was Sam Mitchell's, by the way. I'm going to talk about this a little bit on the Footy Classified tonight.
Yeah. So let's get this out before Footy Classified, Joe.
Well, no, I think he should have gone for the Collingwood job, and if he won it, taken it.
If he won it, take it. And if he didn't win it, well, okay, go back to Hawthorn and see what happens next year.
Yeah, he could have said to them, look, thanks for letting me know you're not going to renew Alistair. This is not going to go well if you announce that publicly and put me in an 18-month succession plan. History says it doesn't work. Let me go for Collingwood and I'll win it. Fantastic. And if I don't, I'll be a contender for your job at the end of next year and I'll back myself in to win it.
Yeah.
Now, putting himself in Sam's shoes, he's thinking, hard to get a job, got to take an opportunity when it comes. But it was an ill-founded plan in the first place, which he signed off on. He agreed to it.
Yeah.
Now, you might argue he didn't think he had any other choice or he wasn't confident of getting Collingwood. Would you say Collingwood's got a, leaving aside the board problems, would you say Collingwood's got a more progressed young list than Hawthorn? You'd have to say yes.
Arguably.
They're ahead of them in the rebuild cycle.
Well, they're ahead of them in playing kids. Doesn't mean the kids are any good, but yep.
Is the board any more or less dysfunctional? I'd say no. They're like for like.
It's pretty dysfunctional.
Hawthorn's board's dysfunctional.
Well, Hawthorn's just Jeff, isn't it?
And is he?
I don't think Richie Vandenberg's come out of this too well either.
And is he ready to coach now? I'd say probably not. He's probably another year or two away from being ready.
Yep. Tell me, and again, Hutchie, as you glean further bits of information, and
Friday was a PR mess, right? Like for that to get out in the morning, for them to not respond for 6 hours, and then in the end, Alistair really kind of helped save it with the way him and Sam kind of did the whole "we've always been best mates" routine. But
yeah,
for 6 hours, it was an inferno in Melbourne, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. Because they hadn't signed the cheque then at that stage, and they knew they needed to.
Do you think Justin Reeves is generally in charge of Hawthorn?
No.
Or do you think he's actually – do you think Jeff's sort of CEO – is he chairman in chief, do you think? And
well, let me put this to you. On the day, or if it wasn't the day, it was the period of time in which the succession plan was released publicly, Sam Mitchell to take over from Alistair Clarkson at that stage at the end of 2022. It was also announced that Justin Reeves had been extended until the end of 2026.
Yeah.
If you're Alistair Clarkson, if you weren't aware of that, and even if you had not had that confirmed, if that was then right in front of you at that very point in time, you know what's happening.
Yeah.
You know that Jeff's back, the CEO, who he doesn't talk to, over him.
No doubt about that. I mean, that was the, that was the beginning of the end.
Tell me, again, Hutchie, things change. And look, we analyse things differently as people, as we get more information, as time evolves. I have no idea, and I cannot get my head around why Alistair Clarkson coached on the weekend and is coaching for the next 3 weeks. I just don't get it.
Yeah.
Footy clubs aren't places where, hey, come back in, but let's celebrate your 17 years. They've just sacked him. They've just signed a cheque to say go away, but he's going to coach 3 more weeks. Surely the future starts as of Friday, doesn't it?
And I'm not saying this happened in this instance. In fact, I'm saying it didn't happen in this instance, but just humour me for a moment. The media speculation or stories that are almost right or nearly right or virtually right add massive pressure to the outcome of what happens eventually, right? You know, you heard Jeff say, oh, it wasn't right at the time Caro said it, but then it became right.
Yeah.
And
depends who says it.
Depends who says it. So I'm not saying it happened this instant, but in my time in journalism, it happened to me a lot. I reckon I did things too early often that created knock-on consequences that made them eventually true. I remember times I went early on a coach just facing the sack and it didn't happen the next day or the day after. But I reckon what happens is everyone sees the news and they ring each other. What do you mean? And were you thinking about this? And we're not. And it does.
And it suits someone's agenda.
It flushes somebody out.
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden there's an next person that's got something to say in the paper.
Alternatively, and we've discussed this aspect of this conversation probably more. Sometimes you go with something that is right, but by going with it,
it changes the
narrative.
Yeah. I think
that happens more.
A story.
Do you agree with that? I think that happens more.
I agree with that. I think a story generally. People will say journalists give themselves too much credit on this, but a lot of times a story reported can make a situation worse or better quickly.
Yeah, yep, yep. It's interesting too, isn't it, Hutchie? Everyone out in the world now thinks they're a journalist, and I know that's a sweeping statement, but everyone thinks they know someone because they've all got access to this stuff now, and they're active. They're actively out there on media. It's social media, but it's media. And that was a good week for media on the back of what happened last week, certainly on the back of what Caroline Wilson did.
There weren't a lot of Twitter apologies, were there? There wasn't a lot of...
Yeah, I don't know, but do you need apologies? I mean, there's been acknowledgement.
No, I'm talking from the public.
Oh, from the public?
Yeah.
No, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in the public who were vitriolic on their response who are like, now just sort of sitting back a bit quietly.
Yeah.
Anyway, it'll be interesting to see how it goes from here. I think they can figure it out for 4 weeks, but it is amazing.
But why? Why though?
Yeah.
I mean, 3 weeks is a reasonably long time in the context of a season of footy.
Well, I think the problem was that they weren't going to make Sam Mitch a caretaker coach, right? He needs a clean running in the off season and should finish the year with Box Hill. That would have put Brendan Bolton in the chair. That just creates more brand damage and more obstacles. And in the end, they probably thought lesser of the two evils is to kind of serve it out. But yeah, I'm with you.
He's checked out. Anyone in life, Hutchie, no matter what it is, no matter what it is you do.
You think Alice checked out?
You check out of a relationship, which is the most important thing we do as people.
Hang on, you think he's checked out? They won yesterday by...
Absolutely he's checked out.
Well, how did they win yesterday?
He's doing it for himself. He's not doing this for Hawthorn or Sam Mitchell.
When he says
he'll tell us he's doing it for himself.
When he says checked out, though, what do you mean?
We signed a check last week to say he's out.
Yeah.
He's out.
Yeah,
and he spent the previous 4 weeks getting to that point.
But he's professional enough to finish the job.
Oh, of course he is. He's the best coach we've seen.
Yeah.
He may be the best coach ever, Hutchie, no matter what happens the rest of his life. I mean, when he won the third of those three in a row and the fourth in his life at the end of 2015, his record at that point was better than anyone's in the history of the game.
They definitely formed a view late that he had been destructive on recruiting.
Yep.
And that his coaching methods were no longer as cutting edge as they once were.
I would agree with that. How did they discover that late, given it's been in front of them, what he's been doing with recruiting?
I think he
gave up the one number two or three draft pick they had in Ryan Burton to bring in Chad Wingard, and who I love Chad Wingard, as you know, but I wouldn't have done that transaction.
Yeah. Get any feedback from, because we got Jeff wrote to us the other day unhappy with something we said on the sounding board. So you haven't heard from him since
about Jeff?
Yeah.
No, I haven't. We haven't really been speaking that much because he's got contracts, Hutchie, that are media contracts, and he doesn't like, you know, everything's on Jeff's terms. He writes his own letters to his members. He gets paid to do certain media. Is he still on the Seven board?
I don't know. I think he was.
He was, wasn't he?
Yeah. But I don't think that affects him. He's his own man.
Oh, I think it does, Hutchie. Well, he's on the board of the...
He's his own man. Anyway, let's move on.
Let's move on. Yeah, we probably labour that a bit too.
What did you think of Sky News banning? What do you think of Sky News being banned from YouTube for a week?
Yeah. For those who haven't caught up with this, I will just quickly relay this. YouTube has suspended Sky News Australia from its platform for a week, claiming the network had spread COVID-19 misinformation and violated its community policies. It takes some doing, doesn't it, for an official and supposedly respected media organisation to get a ban anywhere, doesn't it?
So if you actually change the names in this, the world's biggest and most traditional media company and media baron got suspended from a new age media business's platforms.
Yeah.
So,
when
you think about it.
Yeah, it's just too big.
It hasn't been shut down Sky News. They've shut down Sky News on YouTube. So it's almost like in case you didn't know, Sky News uses YouTube for its distribution and reach.
You're right.
Let's give you a 7-day holiday and remind everyone you do. Now, once upon a time, and in fact still.
It's why I like having those conversations with you, actually, because you take it to a zone I wouldn't have thought of.
Well, how many things have gone up on YouTube over the years where everyone's gone, that's outrageous, that can't be. And yet they've gone, hey, we're just a place people share content. We don't sit in judgment. We're not editorial people.
Freedom of speech.
Yeah. Now, all of a sudden, oh, no, we are editorial people. We've got a community platform, which if you breach it, you're off the platform. So if that's the case with, and we all knew that was the case, but YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, they're publishers now. So they've got to be treated as publishers.
Yeah.
If you're going to make editorial decisions, you can't pretend you're not a publisher. And make, you know, they're editorial content businesses, like everybody else.
So
on one hand, they say they're not.
This is not that big. This is what you're saying? This is not that big.
Well, I think, you know, probably fair enough, right? Sky News content, not acceptable. They're right to shut it down. But then they can't sit in front of governments and say, oh, no, we don't have to pay the same taxes and do the same things because we're just an enabler. We're not a publishing outlet. Well, you are. You're making editorial decisions. This is an editorial decision.
Does Sky News rate well?
On television, it rates poorly.
Yes.
Socially, it goes strongly.
Okay.
And I think the way they distribute their content through means like YouTube and Twitter and others.
I ask that.
Is really good. And it's well, I think it's well read.
I ask that, Hutchie, because ultimately you need to pay and subscribe to the product to see it. So why then do they distribute so widely on social media, given it is meant to be an exclusive access via the payment?
It drives the brand, for one. And two, I think the snackable way I don't know. Do you watch their snackable content? I reckon they do a good job of.
I don't. I've got no interest in what they say because of the agendas they run. And that's not even a political statement.
Of the last 10 experiences I've had with the brand, I'd say all of them were on Twitter or something near two. You know,
like Sky News.
Yeah, I think they do a really good job of curating opinion into easy to consume snackable. So, like, the long form really is the enabler of the digital strategy.
Right.
And I think that would be right. I don't think their TV ratings are good at all, but I think their social presence is really strong. And I think they monetize that pretty well. I think that's the better of the monetization strategy.
Is it?
Yeah.
The social media side?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So I think I would say it.
What I do know is it.
I would say it's a digital brand that happens to be on television as opposed to a television station that is shared on digital.
Okay. It does get up the noses of so many people in media, doesn't it?
It does.
Both its reach and its content.
Yeah.
I choose not to get too caught up in the content of it.
It's I mean, it's driven an agenda, and that's been by design. It's starting to get a little bit uncomfortable in a modern woke society, or more than starting to get a bit uncomfortable. Things like Alan Jones, whether they renew him or not, you know, we saw that, you know, the tally were the first ones to blink on Jones, and nah, I can't have that anymore. He's out of the paper.
Yep.
And then, you know, what will Sky News do is the angst and the advertiser boycott worth the agenda. It's going to get interesting.
Another media story I saw during the week in The Age, written by Damien Ratcliffe. Hutchie, RS Senator Crossroads as SEN makes White Knight offer. Craig Hutchison's Sports Entertainment Network has launched another bid to take over battling radio station RSN. What's going on there?
Yeah,
you haven't got enough radio product at the moment?
I have absolutely nothing to say on that.
Oh, come on.
I think it's I think it's been previously reported that in years gone by we've asked the question.
Yep.
That would be a years gone by question that was asked. I have absolutely nothing to say.
I put it to you, Archie, that you've tried again.
I have absolutely nothing to say or add to that.
I would put it to you that's confirmation of you've gone again.
You should not read that as confirmation or a denial or anywhere in between.
Well, what is it?
It's actually neither. We just keep an open mind on everything, but I don't know what...
Why would you want to buy another radio station when you've already got one? And not say one, you've got many.
That would be a question many would ask.
Well, I'm asking you right now.
I have absolutely nothing to add. I'm not privy or familiar to any of the things that are in the column. I didn't speak to the author of it, and I have nothing to add to it.
Actually, I know you too well. When you start talking this rubbish, something's happening, all right?
You would be foolish to read anything into that one way or another.
No, I wouldn't be. I'd be 100% accurate to read that you are trying to buy RSN, given you've just admitted you've tried to in the past. And you're all about world dominance.
I think it's known that they've said that they're doing a strategic review of the network.
Yep. I can confirm that. I've read that elsewhere. And David Barham, I believe, was central to that review?
Yeah. Oh, it appears he was, yes. I don't think they've yet decided what to make or do on the back of that strategic review. So I would be guessing from the outside, Damo.
If you buy RSN, can you give us the all detail once it's official? And will you admit that on this day, August 2, Monday, that you were economical with your answers on this product?
You were reading too much into things that may or may not be occurring, and I did not add to that story in any way, shape or form, nor take the call, albeit Damien was very persistent, but I didn't even take the call in the end.
Now you're getting too defensive.
No, but I think our business is going to be...
You've got a racing station, haven't you?
Probably, used as a lot of... Not used, but we'll be referencing a lot of these things along the run. And so, like, 1 in 10 of them will be true and 9 in 10 of them won't, but I just don't really want to get into saying that one could be interesting and that one won't be, and that one we've been invited to the table and that one we haven't. So best to say nothing.
Yep. Hatchie, what did you make of Aaron Rodgers' return after a period of consideration to the Green Bay Packers, and he came back and was pretty open about his considerations? And
run me through it. I'm not across the detail. I've been a bit sidetracked, in case you ever noticed.
I'm probably not as across the detail as
so
I...
So he's back? It was the
he's
best.
Back, yeah. The great quarterback of the Green Bay Packers.
Yep. He was out.
He was out. Delayed his return.
Was pretty indignant to them for a while.
Yeah, very much so. Felt that he wasn't being treated with due respect on decisions being made around him and other clubs. Got his back up, basically, and he's always carried himself that way.
He's a bit of a toys-out-the-cot guy.
Came back and then decided to come back and then explained effectively. And again, I probably haven't watched and read everything on this topic, but the gist of it is he was quite critical of his own club on the day he came back to them, having threatened to not come back to them because they may have or may not have looked about a future without him and didn't include him. It just wouldn't happen in AFL, would it, Hutchie? That's what I'm trying to say.
No, the balance of power is a little bit different, though, isn't it? It's perceived to be more of a player-led league. Well, certainly NBA is NFL a little bit less than that. The only thing he throws better than a ball to the deep end wide receiver is that he throws the toys out of the cot even better. He can throw a toy out of the cot 50 metres and hit a wide receiver on the chest. He hit a journalist on the chest with it.
But what we're going to have, though, he's going to be playing, as he always does, and he's reasonably durable, even though he has had some serious injury. He'll be playing in week one in about 35 days' time, after he's just given the club a bit of a public pull-through.
At some point they'll get him, though, won't they? That doesn't fly forever. Hey, couple of things. First of all, thank you to everyone who filled up our Twitter feeds with taking out the trash nominations on Friday. There was a few that took the cover of Alistair Clarkson to release their news. Port Melbourne... release, as Jesse identified on social. The non-statement on Gary is basically saying Gary isn't our coach anymore, but we can't say that definitively to you, so we'll tell you that we're doing a review, and he's been informed of it. And like basically Port sacked Ayres.
What happened there?
Port have basically sacked Gary Ayres. He's still coaching the year out.
And they announced it on the day that Alistair Clarkson...
They released it about half an hour, I think it was.
Oh, that's the. This might be the best of the year.
Before... It's a Hawthorn's favourite son has been...
See, this is so good at taking out of the trash. I didn't realise that they took out the trash at that moment. I was aware of Gary Ayres being removed from Port Melbourne. I wasn't aware they released it in this time frame. This is it. This is genius taking out the trash.
They've said, well, this is going to be a hard sell. We're getting rid of Ayres, who's been the biggest contributor to the club.
Yeah.
How are we going to do this?
He kept the club alive.
How are we actually going to sell this? And then someone's gone, you're not going to believe it. Clarkson's gone, what? How quick can we get that press release written? At what time's his press? Oh, I reckon it'll be late afternoon. All right. Why don't we drop ours about 4? And then, hang on, this release doesn't say that he's definitively been sacked. Well, I don't know whether we need to do that now because no one's going to see it, read it, consume it, or react to it. It's not going to make tomorrow's paper. People are just starting to get their head around the Gary Ayres story on Monday afternoon. What do you mean they've moved him on? It's the guy that has done everything for Port.
Saved the club, didn't he?
Saved the
last
club.
Time I checked.
He's been the front desk receptionist. He's been the secretary. He's done everything.
Successful.
He's been out selling.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
On the hustings.
And they've moved him on, and they've released it on the day. They didn't even do a joint presser or anything. And he coached on the weekend.
When's the next big taking out the trash moment, Hutchie, that you can immediately identify with right now? Is it Olympic Games closing ceremony?
Closing ceremony would be worth some thought.
Yep.
I think then you've got to look ahead to the finals, obviously, AFL Grand Final, NRL Grand Final.
Yep.
Big opportunity. Yep.
How did Peter Vallandi, Sachi, because we haven't spoken about him for a while, how did he manage to get games of NRL played in Queensland on the weekend?
The
AFL flew 6 teams out of the state and had to move 3 matches of football out of the state. Yep. But he just kept them there. And do we think that he might have used the, hey, you want the grand final? You want the grand final, do you?
No doubt about that. They had to hustle on.
On Saturday morning, there was no competitive sport being played. That's what the Queensland health officials said.
He looked very calm during the day on the biosecurity measures they were putting in place. He is the great hustler of all time.
What about him last year when the world was completely shut down in Melbourne, or in Australia, basically? But there was a 9 to 10 week hiatus of no football at all. I mean, think about that. And we sort of do forget sometimes with what we've been through with COVID. There was nothing going on for that period of time. Remember, he just nominated this date, wasn't he? He just nominated it. Was May 19 rings a bell or something like that?
May 11.
May 11. He just nominated this date out of nowhere. Yeah. And everyone said, you can't do it. But he said, watch me.
I think he's got...
You can't do it.
He's got three things going for him.
And guess what he did?
He's got incredible political influence.
Yep.
Incredible political influence, number one. Number two, he's a hustler. Can make things happen in short periods of time. Like most people at that level are not as good with the sleeves rolled up. He's a hustler.
And he scares people. Like, I reckon if you've got his number in your phone and you see the name come up, you're thinking, what would he want?
And I reckon
he's going to take it.
I reckon his experience with the equine flu was enormous. Like, he'd been through a mini horse version of a,
Was he there then, was he?
Yeah, he lived it, understood how to resubmit and how to deal with health and, all those... All the kind of cues that many people would miss, I reckon he's very good at.
Yep.
What's the show need here, and how do we make this?
But the
straight
way...
away on Saturday when he moved into stricter, biosecurity and like he reads that language so well.
Yeah, it's such a contrast to the way the AFL does business, isn't it? Which has been equally successful in navigating its way through.
The AFL are not under as. Where else could he go, Pete? His options were limited.
Very.
He had to double down and find a way. The AFL have options everywhere. So they've got more states they play in. They had a day up their sleeve. I think both sports did. Let me ask you this question. I want you to answer this in one word. One word. If you are chairman...
Provided you answer your own question in one word. I'll answer it. Yep.
If you are chairman of the NRL and AFL commissions today...
Yep.
You've got to choose, as of today...
Yep.
In one word, the city you are playing the AFL and NRL Grand Final, and you've got to make a decision by 5 o'clock today.
And hang on, but both codes play their game in the same city?
No, just pick each. So NRL, where you're playing?
Oh, NRL Queensland?
Brisbane?
Brisbane, yeah. Suncorp?
AFL?
MCG.
Yep.
You?
NRL Auckland?
Auckland?
No-brainer, Auckland. You can sell tickets tomorrow. You can actually trade in Auckland tomorrow. You can... All they've got to do is work out how to get the players in and out, which should be okay.
Reasonably large problem, I would have thought.
No, but I think you'd be able to hammer that out at government level.
You're only saying this because you've got a business investment over in New Zealand.
Damo, Andrew Voss suggested this morning on SEN Breakfast in Sydney.
To my point, yep.
I think it's a great idea because nowhere, put it this way, where else in the two countries tomorrow could you open up Ticket Tech and confidently sell a ticket to the NRL Grand Final?
Archie,
where?
Can I just remind you, unless I'm wrong on this, Australians can't get to New Zealand right now.
Don't need them to. You'll get 50,000 or 40. How many is a stadium? Oh, 30,000 Mount Smart. You'll fill it with.
You need to get two sets of teams in.
Yeah,
there.
Getting 100 people in.
Reasonably large requirement to host the grand final. Actually, you get the two teams that are in the grand final.
That'll be easily chiseled out at the government level. You don't need to get Australian civilians in. So I'm saying Auckland.
Is there going to be a quarantine corridor there, as they call it these days? Another phrase we've all picked up.
I think 8 weeks was the period they gave, which 8 weeks ends around mid-September.
AFL was. What do you?
Perth. But Perth's a no-brainer.
That's the city that at 2.5 hours notice just took crowd out of. I think it was a showdown, wasn't it? A derby or an equally big game against a big club.
I understand that view, but it is...
He doesn't care, Mark McGowan, Hutchie.
It is the least...
The premier.
It's the least risky place in the country right now to play footy. And both NRL and AFL have one other thing that you're missing at stake here. Last year, they all ate checks, right? They all went, we're in the middle of the pandemic. We've just got to finish the season. It'll be what it is. Revenue is massive this year. It's been
eroded though. The AFL's draining $5 million bucks a week for at least the past six or seven.
I know. It's even
that's a lot of money, Archie, in any period of time.
Oh, you're actually in wild agreement with me. You just haven't let me finish the sentence. It's the reason why they need to play in front of maximum crowds on grand final day. They need to maximise checks in both codes more than they ever have before. Perth gives you the best chance of maximising check. 60,000 clean stadium, no MCC in Perth. On a good day, you can make that wash the G's 100. And then you throw in premium and yield on that. That'll be the hottest ticket. And there's a mining boom going on. You don't reckon those corporate tickets in Perth will be off the Richter scale?
Here we go. The corporate ticket. This is what it's all about.
I'm telling you, Perth is the best place to maximise revenue. And then Auckland, as a one-off NRL event, where they haven't had any content for 18 months. Massive opportunity for the NRL. So that would be, I would have Perth $1.90 at the moment with the MCG as equal favourites. And I'd have Auckland probably second league behind.
$1.90 each of two.
$1.90 each of two. And I'd have Brisbane narrowly favouring ahead of Auckland in Sydney.
Okay. The fact you've got vested interest in both those suggestions.
I've got an office in everywhere. Damo, no dog in fight that's any more or less than the other. I'm just telling you.
No, your biggest dog and best dog is in Auckland and Perth, clearly.
I don't agree with that.
I do. You've got an office on the stadium. You've actually got an office in the stadium.
We've got an office in Adelaide, Sydney, Brisbane, Mount Gambier,
you got an office at Optus Bunbury. Stadium last time I checked, Archie.
What does that entitle you to? Like a bathroom in the building? It's not a ticket in the ground. I just want the AFL and NRL Grand Finals to be played in front of fans because those codes and the people that play in them and the industries need that.
I agree with that part of it. I do agree with that.
I reckon over and under on the G's got to be the same size as the crowd in Perth. So if the AFL in Melbourne can't get to 50 or 60%, it's got to go.
Yep. I would argue that it's got to be more than 50% as the absolute bare cutoff. Question of the week time.
On the sounding board, it's our question of the week for Drinkwise. If you're choosing to drink, choose to Drinkwise.
Going to go with Matt Issel on Facebook, Archie, because this is a question that I found myself getting my head around during the week through other reasons. What are your thoughts on sports such as 3x3 basketball and breakdancing finding their way into the Olympic roster? What is the point in doing so? Is there genuine interest in these sports around the world? Matt, I reckon it's a fantastic question. The 3x3 basketball thing, my youngest son said, what's happening with the 3x3 basketball? So I don't know what you're talking about. And he said it's Olympic medal. How did this become an Olympic medal, 3x3 basketball? Seriously, Archie?
I'm not sure as yet.
What? Three by three basketball?
I think the overall basketball has been magnificent.
It has. It always is.
Being a basketball guy, I'm obviously a little conflicted here, and I do think it's good for the sport.
Three by three? You're getting a medal for 3x3 basketball now.
But the a couple of the others were a little bit dubious, weren't they?
Which others?
Breakdancing. Even golf.
Get rid of golf, get rid of tennis.
Like things that have got big checks attached to them on a normal day. Do we really need another version? It's like another version of their tournament. Like, it's not a unique thing, really.
No, and clearly those two tournaments were eroded by the lack of the really big names in them for a variety of reasons.
I don't love the under-23s in the necessarily in the football either, by the way. It's a version of the sport. Like, I like the pure sports where it's the absolute best of it. Yep. It's been some great soccer played, by the way.
And the BMX has been a good addition. Again, it's not my demographic, actually, but that's legit. I'm glad that's in there.
Yeah, it's been spectacular what pitches-wise, isn't it?
Yeah, it has been. All right, that's the question of the week on the sounding board for DrinkWise. And if you're choosing to have a drink, choose to drink wise.
Thanks for listening to the Sounding Board podcast with Hutchie and Damo. Tune in for questions tomorrow, and to send a question to the boys, email thesoundingboard@sen.com.au, follow the show on Twitter @soundingboardep, and like the Facebook page. It's all thanks to DrinkWise. If you're choosing to have a drink, choose to DrinkWise.